We've been thinking particularly about worship, okay? We've been thinking about, well, more than worship, and we've been thinking about all the different things to do with being deeper into God and wider into community, and then we've come to higher in prayer and in worship. And we thought a little bit about some words that are in the Bible that talk about worship and prayer, praise. And we had the one about, there's one word that talks about lifting up the hands. There's another word that talks about being low and prostrating yourself before God. There's another word that talks about shouting joyfully and being clear in your sound. And then there's a word that talks about, particularly in worship, it's to kiss towards. And this was probably one of the first Bible stories where a lady was kissing the feet of Jesus as she had been caught doing wrong things, but he forgave her. So there's all sorts of these different words, and but what we need is we need a way that we can worship, okay? Now, the last thing we need is for a list of this is how we do it, okay? The last thing we need, because if we all of a sudden we find ourselves, oh, I've got to do this, I've got to do that, it makes it somehow easier because we don't have to think, we just look at our list. But actually, we need to, as we've thought all the way along, that for us, we really want the Holy Spirit to guide us into what we are doing. So, let me give you an example. There was a church some years ago, and they'd been praying for the Spirit to come and move in their meetings and everything. And the minister got into the pulpit, and as he got up there, he dropped his Bible on the floor. By accident, he dropped it on the floor. And then, as he was going to pick it up, he sneezed. And the Spirit came. So, that church then said, okay, we've got to drop the Bible, we've got to sneeze, and the Spirit will come. And that's the last thing we need, isn't it? To be, this is the way we do it so that the Spirit will come. We don't want that at all. Okay? We want to find out from the Lord what he's saying and how we can worship him. So I've taken the story from John chapter 4, and the story of the woman at the well that meets Jesus. And Jesus is at a well in Samaria, and along comes this lady to fill up her water buckets to take back to the town. And Jesus says to her, give me a drink. And she starts this conversation, oh, but if you'd you're a Jew, how can you ask me for a drink? And the conversation goes on. And then I'm cutting things short for time's sake, but what happened was that Jesus was beginning to talk to her, to open her mind to the whole thought of the fact of Jesus being the Messiah, slowly, step by step. And he says to her, go and get your husband. And she says, oh, I haven't got a husband. And then he replies and says, well, I know you haven't got a husband because you've had five husbands and the person you're with now isn't your husband. And she thought, oh, goodness, how did he know that? So take up the narrative there in John's Gospel. And sir, the woman says, you must be a prophet. So then she starts thinking, if he's a prophet, that means he's religious. And therefore, I need to talk religious talk with him. So she says, so tell me, why is it that you Jews insist that Jerusalem's the only place to worship, while we Samaritans claim it's here on Mount Gerizim, where our ancestors worshipped? Jesus replied, believe me, dear woman, the time is coming when it will no longer matter whether you worship the Father on this mountain or in Jerusalem. You Samaritans know very little about the one you worship, while we Jews know all about him. For salvation comes through the Jews. But the time is coming, indeed it's here now, when true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father is looking for those who will worship him that way. For God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. So, I want us to particularly concentrate on this phrase that Jesus said. Those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. Okay. We're not talking about, or in spirit, that must mean I must be really earnest. I must be really concentrating on what I do when I'm praying, when I'm worshipping. I don't think so. I don't think that's what he's talking about. He's talking about relationship again. Sorry, keeps coming up, doesn't it? Okay. Not about, oh, I've got to make sure that I do a lot of praying today. I've got to make sure that I pray. There was one chap here, his name's Stephen. I've mentioned him before. He passed away in 2020. He's an evangelist all over Africa. And Stephen, when he was a little boy, his dad would take him to church on a Sunday morning. His dad was an elder in the church in Zimbabwe. And he would sit in the church and he would watch his dad, and his dad would lift his hands and he'd praise God, and then he'd get in the pulpit and he would speak. And then on Monday morning, he was out with the men drinking. He was beating his wife. Terrible. Would you think, if you looked at him on a Sunday morning, would you think, oh, he's really worshipping in spirit. But actually, it's not about that. It's about relationship. Okay? It's about this relationship of us as God's children to God, our Father. That's where our worship comes from. And I know I've said these things over the last few weeks, but this will be the last time we talk about worship, so I'm getting in as much as I can. We're thinking, Lord, I want that relationship with you. Okay, now it's been very interesting these last couple of days because Michelle's been staying round at Val's house. Okay, so on Friday afternoon, I came home from here. No, actually, I didn't. I stayed here. I thought, what's the point of walking home in the rain and then coming back in the rain for the prayer meeting? So I stayed here and had my tea here because Michelle wasn't at home. Right, she was with Val. So I then got a lift back with Martin after the prayer meeting. And I got up, got home, had the late night drink, I went to bed by myself. Got up the next morning by myself, came down here by myself. Anyway, had my relationship with Michelle stopped? Not at all. Not at all. My relationship with my wife did not stop. You know, I woke up in the night, I looked, oh, she's not here. That didn't mean she wasn't my wife. Didn't mean that I wasn't married to her. And all day Saturday I worked around. Saturday she came home for dinner, which was great. Then she went back. And then this morning, she came and gave me a kiss this morning at 10:10. Good morning, she said to me when she walked in. But I had no, Michelle's not here. Oh, what am I going to do? I'm confident in my relationship with my wife. We need to be confident in our relationship with our Heavenly Father. And if we're like that, if we're confident, then all our worship will flow. It won't come from, hang on a second, I've got to get my list out. What have I got to do today? We have got to worship. Okay, yeah, now I need to. No, it'll be something that flows from our hearts. Okay, now, let's have a look at this scripture in Galatians chapter 4. And because we are his children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, prompting us to call out, Abba, Father. Now you're no longer a slave, but God's own child. And since you are his child, God has made you his heir. That's an interesting word, heir. It means that you'll get the inheritance. Because we are his children, he sent the Spirit of his Son into us, into our hearts. There's no way that a marriage can have anything else other than we're together, we've got the ring, we've got the wedding marriage certificate. But for us as God's children, the Spirit is come. And that is far closer than any earthly relationship. Okay. And then there's another scripture that we're going to look at just now. In Ephesians, Paul says this, pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. If God has sent his Spirit into our hearts and we are living in the Spirit, then we pray in the Spirit. We worship in the Spirit at all times. Okay? Not, I've got to get my spirit on, as it were. No. We are here. Wherever we are, we're in the place where we can worship, we can pray in spirit and in truth. Now let's have a look at truth for a minute. Okay. Interesting word. More dictionary definitions, I'm afraid. This word truth, aletheis, I think it is pronounced, aletheis, and it means, meaning a, which is the negative, and aletheis, it means to lie hidden. So in other words, no longer hidden. So if we're worshipping in truth, we're not hiding this. It's not something that's hidden. It's something that is out there. Okay, so let's just have a look at some scriptures about truth. John chapter 1 says, for the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. In John 14, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Also, truth came through Jesus, but then Jesus says, he is the truth. And then in 1 John, it says this, but as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true, and is not a lie, the anointing, that's another word for the Spirit, teaches you concerning all things, and is true. The Spirit is true. So if we're worshipping God in spirit and in truth, it's because of what God has done and put on the inside of us. Okay. Now, we live in a society that is not looking at absolute truths. Okay. If it feels good to you, it's okay. That's what people say. oh yeah, but that's okay for you, but I don't believe that. I believe this. We've got a lady that I sometimes deal with in Nairobi. She says, oh yeah, well, I don't believe what you believe. I believe this. And then she goes on about her, how she believes everything is all connected into. And I thought, okay. But it's not my truth, and it's not your truth, or a relative truth, you know, okay, it's not something that is, for our time, this is okay, and things are okay now. I mean, the truth for many countries was recently that their import duties into America were sky high, and the Supreme Court said, no, it's illegal. So they cut it out. So the truth has changed. It's relative. But we're not thinking about my truth or your truth or relative truth, but we're thinking about the truth. Okay? If we don't hold this in the highest regard, this word of God as the truth, and even though we might not understand it all, say, I don't understand it, Lord, but I believe it. It's the truth. So that those that worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. But it all comes back to that relationship, doesn't it? Now, as I was thinking about this, and thinking, I do not want to be prescriptive. I do not want to be, this is the way we do it. Okay, we do not do all this. But there are things that worship needs. Now, hear me out, you'll see where I'm going in a moment. Okay. Worship needs time. Worship is not, oh quick, I'm going to say a quick prayer and sing a song. I've got to go out. That is not worship. Okay. If I was to take you out for a meal and we were sitting down, what would you think of me if I said, okay, sorry, can we have that to go, please? I've really got to go. We've got to spend time in our worship. Okay? If we're going to rush things, it's not good. So worship needs time. Okay? This is a Valentine's meal, this picture. Okay, just imagine if this guy with his Valentine was at the table and they weren't taking... He was rushing through, we've got to get out of here quick. I took Michelle out to the Carvery a couple of weeks ago and it was heaving, it was so full of people. And I'd got a slot at 6 o'clock and we went there at 6 and I knew that we had to be out by 6:30, because it was such a quick turnover, okay, and I felt rushed, and you know, you sit there, we eat the meal, okay, let's go, we'll have pudding at home. it just doesn't sit right, does it? If you want to have a nice Valentine's meal, you want to take time over it with your Valentine. Worship needs time. Okay? How do you worship? Well, I've got 15 minutes in the morning. That's all the time I've got. So I've got my 15 minutes where I sit quiet, I read a verse or two from the Bible, I pray a little bit, and I listen to a song, and then I'm off. Or perhaps... it's different to that. Perhaps it's time to reassess so that we are more... we give the Lord the time he needs. Okay? Now, if you've seen the film The War Room, you'll know about that lady in the war room. There she is here. And she teaches this younger lady how to pray, and she's got a little room that she goes into when she does her praying and her worshipping. So I've said it needs a place. It doesn't. We can worship anywhere. We can go down the beach. Kim and Mehmet and I have gone up the downs and we've worshipped God's up there. You can be driving to somewhere and your heart can be lifted up and you can worship in God, although you've got to keep your eyes open and know where you're going. Sometimes it's just good. Okay, I need to find a little place where I can get away from distraction. And sometimes it's really hard when you're in close quarters with a lot of people. Lord, you need to... Lord, can I have somewhere where I can just be in your presence? So I'm not saying it's got to be a place, but we need to find somewhere where we can... You know, this is a place where it's just me and God. And I can just be with him. Of course, there's also here... Now, last week, I talked, didn't I? I told the story about the boy coming away from camp and feeling he'd lost what he'd got at camp. And it tells us in Scripture in Hebrews chapter 10, it's good to be together. Okay? It's good to be together. Whether we are a whole group, or whether we are a small group, it's good to be together. Because... if you're a single coal and another single coal and another single coal, yeah, it's okay. You can get warm around a little coal. But when they're all together and the fire is really going, you set each other off in good ways. You know, someone will pray something and they think, oh, that's just what I needed to hear. And we've sung this and, oh, yes, and that's really helped me. And I've got something on my heart and I want to give it. And then someone comes up to you afterwards and says, that's just what I needed to hear. Thank you so much for your prayer today. Thank you for that scripture you read. I needed to hear that. So there's single worship where it's just you. And there's together worship, which is also needed, okay? We need the book of God in its right place. It's lovely that sometimes when we're having our time at the beginning of our meeting, that someone will read scripture. Because and sometimes when we sing, it's scripture. It's so good for us to have words of God on our lips, in our ears. The book of God has its place in our worship. Okay. Spirit-led. Now, this picture here, I don't know where this is. I've got one like this of a place in Nakuru. But can you see all those different places that they're pointing in different places here? And sometimes, when we're praying, when we're worshipping God, our minds are going here, there, and everywhere. Oh, got to pray for that person. Got to do this. Got to do that. Yeah, I know. I know. It happens. It happens, doesn't it, Heather? And the thing is, what we need, we don't need that. Yeah. Okay. You calm down, Heather.
Yeah.
And we'll have a prayer afterwards. Okay. Yeah, it's okay. We need our eyes to be on him. And he will guide us how we worship, who we pray for. I mean, yes, quite often we pray for our families daily and what have you. But rather than go here flitting, let's think, Lord, how do you want me to pray? Lord, I want to worship you this morning. Put a song in my heart. And this needs to be with faith. Faith, a Bible word, it means putting what you believe into action. Lord, I believe you. I believe what you have done. And that makes me want to worship you. Some people will hear Bible words and they won't believe it. But if we've got faith in our hearts, when we hear Bible words, it causes us to rise, causes worship. Now, many, many years ago, when I think Naomi was about 4, I think, and she'd just started singing nicely. You know how little children, they sing so sweetly, don't they? And you rush to get your... Well, in those days, I rushed to get the cassette recorder. These days, you just get the phone out and that's it. But in those days, get the cassette out, sing for us. And we got Naomi singing this wonderful little Christmas carol. And Michelle just played the guitar quietly and Naomi sung it. It was lovely. Oh, it did my heart so good to hear that. The next day, we went to work, and it was the last day before Christmas, and I wanted to show off my little daughter. I was so proud of her. I had the car next to the office window. I wound my window down, opened the office window, and played the cassette so everyone in the office could hear it. And they all went, ah. Because they did for me. I was so pleased what she sung. I didn't say, well, you could have done that a bit better. You could have timed that a bit better. You missed a note there. No, I didn't do any of that. I just said, I'm really pleased with that. I love what you've done. God is pleased with our worship. And he accepts it. Yeah? He accepts our worship. Whether we think we're just doing little, where you feel like you're a toddler and you can't get your words out properly, or whether you've been a Christian for so many years and you so easily you worship, you say, oh Lord, God is pleased with our worship. When we come here and we sing, what are we actually doing? We're singing to him. Yeah? We're singing to God. And what does God say? Oh, not this one again. I don't really like this song. God is listening. And even though you've got every congregation, every church all around the world singing, and you've got how many churches in England? All singing at the same time. And God says, oh, I really like what they're doing at Clifton. I so like that. He does it for every single church. He can hear. And he can hear your voice in amongst the church. And he is pleased. He accepts it. Whether we are, as I say, whether we're doing it because we're just step by step, or whether we are confident in our worship, he accepts. He's our Father. God is our Father. And because of that, it doesn't really matter if you make a mistake. I mean, okay, I made a few chord mistakes this morning. I'm sorry about that. I know I did. Sometimes it's difficult to get your hands in the right place at the right time. Did God say, oh, Matt, rubbish? Lord, you accept my worship. We haven't got to make sure that we do things right so that he accepts them. He's our Father, we're his children. And he is looking on at us and saying, I'm accepting that. That's wonderful. So, we've got time, place, the book, led by the Spirit, with faith. Wonder how much of these you think, well, I think probably the one that gets us, all of us most, or gets me, is time. Okay? There was a man from Korea who said that when he was a preacher, when he was preaching in Korea, he made sure that he prayed for an hour before he spoke. He said, when I go to Europe, I pray for 2 hours before I speak. But if I go to England, I have to pray for 4 hours before I speak. Wesley, back in many years ago, used to spend, if I've got more things to do in the day, I get up earlier because I need more time. And I suppose today in our society, we're not geared to getting up. We get up at the last possible minute. I don't know if that's you, Chris. I used to, when I was a teenager, I'd get out of my bed at 8:45. I would leave the house at 8:50. I would get to my work at 8:55. And I'd be at my desk at 9:00. I don't know if that's not you, is it, Kristen? Lord, I need time. I need time. That's why I'm so grateful that I walk in to here. Because it gives me half an hour just to be with the Lord as I'm walking. Build that sort of time into your schedule. That's really quite important. If we're going to worship, if we're going to learn how to do these things, we've got to give it time. Yeah? And sometimes I'm walking here in the morning and I'm starting and straight away I've got a song in my mind and I'm on my heart and I'm singing away as I go. And other times I'm going, no, I don't want to sing that. I want to sing something spiritual. And so, yeah. So it's not always, all the time. But Lord, teach me. Teach us how to worship. Oh Lord. So we're going to pray. And we're going to sing a couple of small songs that will just help us just to worship together. Okay, so let's pray. Father, we do realize that in all the things we've thought about over the months, with deeper and wider and higher, it boils down completely, really, to our relationship with you. The fact that you are our Father and we are your children. And whether it's us going deeper into you, or whether it's us reaching out across the church and across the community, or whether it's us praying and worshipping to you, Lord, the whole basis of all these things is our relationship with you. And we pray, Lord, that you would, as I did last week, Lord, teach us to worship. Teach us, Lord. Give us what we need, Lord, to worship. Lord, if it means us getting up earlier so that we can have some time, then, Lord, kick us out of bed. If it's a matter of concentration, putting away the phone, then Lord, give us the ability just to put that away. Lord, but we ask you, Lord, to teach us how to worship, Lord. Amen.